Welcome to the Women in STEM podcast that focuses on the intersectionality of science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. We focus on how we can amplify the voices of women in STEM and make them aware of the multiple different career opportunities that are available.
Hello, welcome to the Women in STEM podcast. Would you like to introduce yourself, please?
Yeah, hi Kelly. I'm Atti. I'm a career coach for women in tech, and for a very long time I was a web developer and software developer, and I'm also a musician. So you can do more than one thing. It's really nice to be here. Thank you for having me.
I'm really looking forward to like getting into your music stuff and all the things that you've been doing throughout your career. It's super interesting. You've spent 15 plus years in web and software development at companies, and I was wanting to find out how did you first begin in this career, and what did the industry look like in those early years?
That's an interesting question. Okay, so I really distinctly remember I live in London, and I was on the escalator on the tube in Tottenham Court Road going down, and I saw this poster and it said, take a diploma in e-commerce. And I didn't really understand what any of those words meant, but it said things like web development and things like that underneath. And it was very new to me. And I was, for some reason, it kind of grabbed me. And I was like, I really want to explore that. So I ended up doing a part-time diploma in e-commerce, which was basically web development, Linux, network, hardware, you know, all this stuff. And it was very exciting and new for me because I was working in travel at the time, and I was booking holidays for people, and it was great. But I was like, I think I'm ready for a change.
You've had multiple pivots in and out of tech. I wanted to know what made you leave tech and what has brought you back into tech.
Okay, so when I look back, it's a pattern of like starting, leaving, starting again. So it's kind of a pattern that I've had my whole life. But tech specifically, the first time I left, I was working for a big company, IPC Digital, part of Time Warner. They did magazines like Marie Claire, Living, etc., loads. And it was a great job, but I got pregnant and I was about to go on maternity leave. And I didn't know whether I wanted to come back or not because I'd never had a child and I didn't know what it would be like. But also before I left, I had a performance review. And at the time, I knew HTML, CSS and PHP. And my then boss said, you need to learn JavaScript. And this is a long time ago, right? JavaScript wasn't all around the place like it is now. And it seemed like such a big weight on me. I agreed with him. I did need to learn it because it was taking off. But I also felt like a huge pressure. And I also felt inadequate because I felt like I didn't know enough. So I left to have my child, but I also had a big confidence knock. So I ended up not going back to tech for 6.5 years. I ran baby music classes instead, and that was really fun. And finally, one day, my husband said, you like it and you're good at it, so why don't you try again? And I thought, you know what? I do love it and I am good at it. And just because somebody said something that knocked my confidence and I let it knock my confidence, I don't need to let that stop me anymore.
You've mentioned noticing patterns, and right now you're coaching women. So I wanted to know what kind of triggered you to want to become a coach, and what are some of the patterns that you've noticed when you're coaching?
Okay, so like many of us, right, I had this idea a while back, and this is actually something I coach people on all the time. You know, sometimes you have this idea about something you might like to do, but then you come up with all these reasons why it's not for you. I can't become a coach because, to me, it seemed like a really like, I am middle-aged, I'm in my 50s, but it seemed like a really middle-aged woman thing to do. And that's so judgy. And I own that. And I'm sorry. But I was like, that's not for me. I can't be a coach. But the whole time I was still mentoring people and I was kind of informally coaching people. So finally, I was like, and somebody, my very own coach, said to me, Atti, are you going to be a coach or not? Because she could see I was ready. So I was like, yes, okay, I'm going to be a coach. So the pattern that I was in, which was kind of vaguely identifying something I wanted, but finding all these reasons why I shouldn't have it. That's something that comes up a lot with people all the time. Sometimes we think we're not allowed to have what we want, or it's not for us, or it's too distant. Some of the other patterns we can talk about, but yeah, getting stuck in spirals, and a lot of it's just all that being in your own head, you know, being in your own head all the time.
You've navigated a couple of challenges yourself. I wanted to know if you'd be able to like kind of explain some of the things that you've been through and how you managed to work through them.
Yeah, sure. So I have ADHD. That's why I just looked off into the distance. I have ADHD. I was diagnosed in March this year. That's March 25. I was pretty sure I'd had it for about 4 or 5 years previously. So when I look back over my career in general and my career in tech, I can see that a lot of the things I experienced would be probably due to having ADHD, but not knowing. Also, excuse me, being in perimenopause, which can be difficult anyway, but apparently if you have ADHD and your estrogen levels and hormone levels are changing, it can be much more difficult. Also having children, I had postpartum depression, but like so many people, you can't see it when it's happening. You can only see it after. I can't remember your question, sorry.
No, it's okay. I just wanted to ask you kind of how did you work through it? And if you could just briefly explain what perimenopause is, because I'm sure some of the listeners might not know what it is.
Yeah, sure. Okay, so perimenopause is the period before you go into menopause, before your periods stop. It can be quite long. I think it can be like 5 years or something, but you can look it up. But it's when your menstrual cycle starts to change and your hormones start to change. You can experience a lot of things like forgetfulness, brain fog, you know, mood changes, all the kinds of things you associate sometimes with having a menstrual cycle as well. But it can just be quite difficult, especially because a lot of the symptoms, you don't necessarily know why you're having them. I didn't know why I was having so much brain fog. I just thought I was not coping. I didn't know the reasons. So if you're experiencing anything, it's really well worth getting checked out. So I did seek flexibility at work, and a lot of the places I worked for were very supportive. But I ended up quitting basically because I felt like I was in a fight with myself the whole time. I wanted to have the autonomy to work on my own, but I also wanted to work for a company and seek progression. I just chose to quit. Looking back, if it was somebody else in the same position struggling, I would say, and I have said many times, before you think about quitting, before you think I'm at the end of my tether, make sure you seek support. Because there's more support out there than you realise, and it can be so helpful. And there might be ways that, you know, your workplace can be better without you having to do something drastic.
Thank you for taking the time to explain that to us. I myself can kind of relate to some of the things that you've been through. I got my diagnosis for dyslexia when I was 18, and I actually have severe dyslexia, so you would have thought that they would have picked it up during my time at school. But unfortunately, It wasn't picked up until I was 18. Yeah. It was quite frustrating, but at the same time, I was relieved because I always felt like there was something different about me. I know that you've kind of touched on the fact that you are a mum, and I wanted to know if you could speak about mum guilt.
Well, okay, so it's like always there, but I'm getting better now. I'm recovering. So yeah, there was a particular couple of times when it was very difficult. So I was working at Capgemini, which was a great company to work for. They were very supportive. I got involved in volunteering with Code Your Future, which is a coding bootcamp for refugees, asylum seekers and people from underrepresented backgrounds. And that was fantastic. So I liked working there a lot. But I had this kind of idea, and as a lot of people, women do, I think, that when you go back into work, you're going to work like after having kids or taking a break or whatever, you're going to be able to work the same way you did before, like when you were younger or you didn't have so many responsibilities or just when things were different. So I went back in and had this idea that I was going to like be amazing and overperform and everyone was going to think how great I was and all this stuff. But it just puts a huge amount of pressure on you when you expect yourself to perform at a high level, you know, consistently without considering what else you might need. So, the mum guilt, sorry, I'm getting to that. So I wanted to work and I wanted to be good at my job and I was excited to get back, but I also wanted to be with my children and I wanted to be a good mum. I wanted to do everything perfectly, right? I wanted to be 100% for everything. So, but I am good at giving myself a break as well. You know, I'm good at letting myself off the hook and I encourage other people to do the same. So I kind of tried to make sure that when I was with my children, I was with them, present. And then when I was doing my work, I was present. But it's difficult. You get pulled in many different directions. We all do. Whether you have children or not, we've all got things going on. So I always say, give yourself a break, let yourself off the hook and think about what you need. You know, sometimes put yourself first. So important.
Yes, it is very important. I love the fact that you've mentioned that you are allergic to a pros and cons list. That's quite bold. And what is wrong with a pros and cons list, and why do you think it keeps brilliant women from moving forward?
Okay, thank you. That's what I say in my LinkedIn profile, and I quite liked it. I thought it was cute. But I also believe that pros and con lists are, there's nothing wrong with pros and con lists. They're a tool, though. When I was trying to decide what to do with my career, I literally had a piece of A4 paper with a line down the middle. On one side, it said, stay in job. On the other side, it said, go freelance. And I was writing down all the reasons of why, why one's good, why one's bad, whatever. And it can be helpful. Of course, it can. But it looks at practicalities, and I think it's just quite a simple tool. And what we do in coaching is see what's really going on for you, what you really need, what you really want, what makes you feel energized versus what makes you feel drained. And so a pros and cons list is a starting point. I say I'm allergic to them because it's just a kind of way of saying it's not the solution. We can say, well, this job has good hours and this job has good pay. And it's like, and they are all important. But we also need to think about, how does that affect me? What do I need? What do I want for myself? So that's why I say that. And why do they keep brilliant women stuck? I wanted to come to that. A lot of the time, when we're trying to make a decision or think about our lives, what we want, we get in our heads. And we try and use logic to solve the problem. And again, nothing wrong with logic, but you can't use it alone. You need to think about how it affects you, how you feel in your body, and what you want for yourself. So it's deeper than just using logic. We can't always rationalize ourselves out of something. Occasionally, you just need to make a quick decision. That's fine.
Some people may have never done coaching before, and even the word coaching can be quite intimidating for somebody who's never done it before. I wanted to know if you could be able to explain what it is that you do in coaching and kind of give us a mini breakthrough of what somebody can expect if they were to book you.
Yeah, of course. And I completely, do you know what? I'd never actually thought about that, but I actually find the word coaching quite intimidating as well. It doesn't necessarily mean anything to you. Do you know what I mean? You're like, what's that? It's kind of abstract. So that's a really good question. So if we forget about the word coaching entirely for a moment and just say, if we got on a call together and you had something that you were struggling with or just wanted to bounce ideas around or just like figure out your thoughts, maybe your thoughts were all tangled up together, then we can talk through that. So some people turn up and we'll normally have like, well, we'll have a half hour call just to see if working with me is right. If we're going to work together, if we're the right fit for each other and it all works out, all the logistics and everything. But what we do on a call is basically somebody will just tell me, they'll just brain dump essentially. Because often, and this is key, two things. One person said to me recently, I'm going to book a call, but I don't know what to talk about. And I've had that so many times. And I'm like, that's fine, just book a call. We'll just chat and see what comes up. I'll ask you questions if that helps, you know? And other people will come with an idea of what they want to talk about, and then we'll just come up with something completely different. It's like, I want to figure out, I don't know, whether I should quit my job or not. But then we end up talking about something else, and it transpires that they've actually got something else going on as well that they want to discuss. So it's a conversation, and I will ask questions to try and just get you to think about what you're feeling, what you're thinking. But I'll just listen as well. You can just talk. And also, it's non-judgmental. I've made so many mistakes. I'm not going to tell you now.
And how long do these sessions usually go on for? Like, if somebody books a coaching session with you, is it like one session or do they need to take six? Like, how does it work in with regards to that?
Again, it depends. So I've actually had people come on just a half an hour game plan call. I used to call it an intro call, but I'm trying to be a bit, actiony. So a game plan call, which is just 30 minutes. And some people have actually left that call, and that's free, left that call and said, do you know what? I want to stay in my job. I just want to make it better. And then I'm like, okay, fine. If you want to carry on coaching, we can talk about that. But so some people only need half an hour. But I will either do like a one-off session if it's something specific, or if you just want to talk through some ideas, or we can do like some people have had a 6-week package. Couple of people have had a 4-month package. So it kind of depends what you want to and help with what you want to achieve, and how long you want to spend, where you want to get to, things like that. And what your budget is, of course.
You're a woman of many talents. And you kind of touched on it at the beginning with regards to singing and the fact that you had a musical club for babies. I just wanted to know if you could kind of expand on how music has impacted you and your creativity.
Yeah, it's something I still tussle with. Like, I just want to be a singer. No, I just want to be a coach. So I love singing and I've always loved singing. I've been in covers bands for like the last 20 years on and off, but I've also written and released my own songs on Spotify. And I just love doing it because I get these ideas. You know how you kind of get ideas for content or something you want to post? I get that as well, but kind of lyrics or snatches of music. So my notes app is just full of random lyrics. I mean, some of them are really cringe, but so yeah, I love singing. But I also like writing songs and recording with my friend who's an arranger and a producer as well. And I love performing in a blues band. It's really fun. It's just, this is another big thing for me and for everyone. I want people to be able to express themselves. And I know it's difficult and people have different constraints and different challenges. But if you can find ways to express yourself, small or big, it just helps you so much. This is why I like people to come on calls and just tell me what's on their mind. You know, you don't have, there are no rules. Because once you start saying what you want and what you need, and what makes you feel good and what makes you feel happy, once you hear yourself saying it, you kind of allow yourself to have a bit more of that. And that's why I love music. And it's taken me a very long time to get to where I am. Kind of wish I'd done it 20 years ago.
I love the creative aspect of you and the fact that you have multiple interests, especially like music, singing, that's super cool. That's really, really cool.
Thank you. It's just fun as well. It's good exercise.
I wanted to know if you had any practical tips for a woman who is like, okay, I want to do coaching, but not right now, but I'm feeling stuck in this moment.
I have something called the Decision Detox Kit, which can help you make a decision. And it's basically, there are five filters. There's the gut check filter, which I'm going to start with, which is, what does your intuition actually say? So it's just asking yourself really small questions. Like, for instance, you have a decision between two things. Let's say it's a, you know, pudding at a cafe or something. It's like, how will I feel if I say yes to the, you know, to this? How will I feel if I say no? And it's just a quick gut check, you know. One thing I really love to do is like, imagine you have both choices in front of you, whether it's two puddings at a cafe or your job choices, and someone takes one of them away. They snatch it away and take it away. How do you feel? Do you feel good because you're left with the one that you want? Or do you feel like frustrated and irritated because the one that you want went? You don't know it until somebody does that. So we can do that. But you can also say, if you say yes to this decision, how do you feel in your body when you say, yeah, I could do that? If you say no to that decision, how do you feel in your body? And another check is, imagine a year from now, imagine if you'd said yes, how does that make you feel? Now imagine if you'd said no, how does that make you feel? So all this is to get you to think about what you really want and need. Not what's right, what somebody's telling you, or what you're telling yourself. What do you actually really need and want? That was a long answer to a short question.
No, that was great.
I'll tell you more, but I don't want to like take away. I don't want to like, you know. I'll add on a couple more. So the next filter would be, will this move you forward or keep you stuck? Sometimes leaving, you know, isn't the best option. Sometimes staying is something that's going to move you forward. You just have to figure out how to make it work. Then there's the values filter. Does this align with what matters to you most now? Often we'll be making decisions based on our values from a previous time, like 5 years ago or 2 months ago. So is this actually what I want for me now? It could look good on paper, but is it working for me now? The energy filter. Will this energize me or drain me long term? And the timing filter, this might be perfect, but it's not the right time. So these are things that you can use.
Those are some great resources. And I'll definitely make sure to put some links below to places where you've gotten some of these resources or if they're on your website.
Yeah, thank you.
I wanted to ask you, with regards to you looking back, hurt some of the decisions that you've made. If you could speak to your younger self, so back in your earlier tech years and contemplating all the pivots that you've made, all the challenges you've overcome and what you know now, what's one thing you'd tell her?
Oh my goodness, this kind of question makes me cry. What would I tell younger me? I just say, I know it's really hokey, but I just think like things like be kind to yourself, put yourself first. And then I'll get my little mama tiger version and go, you don't owe anybody anything. You don't have to fix everyone else's problems. And it's okay to go for what you want. I'm trying to think of something specific that's actually tech related and helpful. Okay, this is a really good one. One of my bosses said to me, and this is early on in my travel company when I very first started being in tech and I was using PHP, HTML and CSS and I was flying. I loved it. He said to me, Atti, your problem is, and I was like, and he said, you don't know how good you are. So this is what I tell my clients, and I don't say your problem is you don't know how good you are, but it was a very nice thing to I say, remember how good you are. And we remember all the things you've done. Remember all the things you haven't done. You're good when you're messy. You're good when you're not messy. You're good. Remember that, you know. There will always be ups and downs.
Thank you for mentioning that and for reflecting. As some of the listeners know, I'm going to be having my first ever in-person Women in STEM event. And you've kindly offered a giveaway prize. And I just wanted to know if you could explain what the prize is.
Yeah, sure. So I'm giving away a coaching session. So we'll reframe that slightly. An hour to an hour and a half with me over Zoom, where you can bring something you will want to talk through, or something you're struggling with, a decision you want to make, or we can even just have a chat. We can talk about tech. We can talk about confidence, imposter syndrome, how to talk to your manager. We can talk about basically whatever you want. We can talk about something completely different if you want. Yeah, and that's at your, you know, you can just pick a time. I'll send you the calendar link and we can book it. And it's free, just to be clear.
Yes, thank you so much for that kind gesture. I really appreciate it. I'm sure a lot of the listeners are going to want to know what is next for you in your world. What's coming up next with regards to your coaching work? And how best can people connect with you?
Okay, thank you, Kelly. Okay, so, well, this is actually nothing to do with coaching. I'm going to release a single soon and it's about ADHD and it's called Where Is My Brain? And it's going to be on Spotify. But regarding coaching, I'm still learning. I'm building my business. I'm a coach, but I'm building my business. So, I'll be launching probably some 6-week packages. Not everybody wants coaching for 3 months. Some people do. There are offers on my website as well. And the best way to connect with me is on LinkedIn or Instagram or TikTok. But LinkedIn's probably the best one. Or via my website, which is atticronin.com.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for coming on the Women in STEM podcast.
Kelly, you're an absolute gem. I love you. Thank you for too much. Thank you so much. And you are an absolute inspiration. And I really appreciate you having me on here.
Listeners, if you've enjoyed this episode, please make sure to subscribe to this podcast on your favorite streaming platform, leave a review and rating to help us reach more listeners, and follow our social medias, the latest updates and behind the scene content. Join us next week for another exciting episode. And until then, keep exploring the world of STEM and empowering women in STEM.